I'm down.
We have two readings this morning. First is in the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 25. That's Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took... Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The second reading is from the book of Galatians. Chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians 6, starting at verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers."
Like to invite my kids to come down. Or I'll yell at you. Oh, this is the Lord speaking. Come on, come on. I'm going to try something different today. I need you guys to be my actors and actresses. Will you guys do that? Yeah. All right. I need a volunteer. But wait till you hear the story, till you know what it's for. I need a volunteer who's willing to pretend that they're the person that gets beat up. Because if you heard the story, they read you the story already. He's walking along, and some mean people come, and this man beats him up, and he throws him to the ground, takes everything he owns. So I need, who's going to volunteer to be that? You're going to be sure? All right. We got a volunteer. Good. All right. So we got a girl this time, but that'll count. Now I need someone to be a nasty robber. I don't want to role play here or typecast. Are you sure? You'll be nice, though. All right. You'll get to play another one, honey. You'll get the next one. All right? So, he's ready. We should get this on camera. YouTube is waiting for us.
We don't want to be sued.
Yes. All right, now I need 3 other volunteers. One is going to be a very good one. You get way over there. One's going to be not so good. You get right in front of her. Go over a little farther this way, honey. A little farther this way. You stand way over here. And you stand right in front of her. And one more. Come on up. Come on. Oh, one of you. That's fine. Good. There we go. Now, a certain girl, boy, man was going. You ready? You got to sneak up on her, but don't really hit her. You just pretend. Can you pretend? And you're going to pretend that he's going to jump on you. Oh, Lord. Did the family sign the papers already? Wait. Yeah, no. Yeah. He's got, well done. You got the idea. All right, she's now, here she is, gently walking along, and you grab her and pretend to throw her to the ground. Pretend, throw her to the ground. Oh, go take everything she has. Just pretend. Well, good. And you run away. Run away. Go back over to the front. You can go back over there and sit down. Along came a priestess, and she took one look at the person down there, and she said, ooh. And she walked way around him and ran back to her seat. Along came a Levite, which will work either way, I don't know. A Levite, and he took one look, and he said, oh, gross. And he went way around her and ran back to his seat. Or walked. Along came a Samaritan, someone who wasn't even her best friend or anything. And she took one look at the girl, and she bent down, and she began to help her. And she took her by the hand. No, let her do it. Took her by the hand, and she took her back over here, and they took care of each other, and she even paid money to put her in the hospital. And that is the story that Jesus told. Now, here's the question he asked the man. Of those three people, which one treated her like a good neighbor? Yes. So this was the hero. And that's what Jesus wanted the people to learn. You both get to sit down. Good job. All right. And no blood. That's a good sign. We're getting there. Every once in a while, I want to try that. And parents, you always got to let me know if these work or not. Because you go, my kid didn't get anything from your last children's sermon, Pastor, you know. All right, good. All right. Now, in the big people's sermon, I'm not going to teach them that story because that's the easy part. That's the part that we're all supposed to get right away. What I'm going to teach them about is a different part of the story where the man who was talking to Jesus was trying to make himself really good. And that's the part of the story I'll be talking to them about. But you guys know what Jesus' lesson was. We're not supposed to walk around when somebody's hurt. We're supposed to help them, even if we don't know who they are. Whenever we can, we at least have to try and get them some help. Now, if you can't, if they're too big and you can't help them, who do you run to? Mom or dad, right? You go to the police officer and say, please, could you help me? Or whatever you can do. That's our job, to do as much as we can so that we will be a part of that lesson. This was our neighbor, and you saw the way she treated him. Can you remember that for the sermon? Now, I'll talk about that story in the sermon. But you got to try and listen for the other thing, and I'll let you know what that is too. All right? Well, I got just a bunch of stuff here today. And here, Linda, hold this one open. Yeah, you come up here, I give you a job. You know how that is. Open as much as you can. And I got another one right here, so you can grab from whatever bag you want. Just grab one. Go ahead and grab one for your mom. There you go, moms and dads. There you go, whatever one you want, hon. There you go. You're welcome. You want to grab a different one? That's okay. I knew they'd trade. There we go. Thank you. Let him not deceive himself by trusting what is worthless, for he will get nothing in return. Job. 1 Corinthians. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he actually can become wise. 1 Corinthians again. Do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. 2 Thessalonians. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. James 1 again. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. All right, I have some videotapes that your kids took of you on their cell phones. We'll be playing them shortly on how you parents talk to them this week and how the kids talk to their parents this week. So we're going to see how your mouths went to find out if we've got any safe people left. Right? I mean, each one of these has weight to it. And the dilemma, of course, is that the deception is always don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't pretend. Don't kid yourself. The last one's got such weight to it. I mean, you sit there and go, your religion is worthless. I don't know what you think you got. But if you don't have a tight rein on your mouth, your religion is worthless. And I go, oh my goodness. Well, there's two ways I can handle that. One is I compare myself to you and I go, well, compared to some of you, I got a pretty good mouth. But compared to others of you, I got a nasty, nasty mouth. Okay? And we run that route, right? We turn this text from what it's supposed to do into something we can handle, and we get ourselves excused from this nastiness that we speak and behave with to one another. And then we want to walk around like, and God, you have to save me anyway. I'm a really righteous man. And the reason I'm doing that is self-deception is one of the huge mistakes that Christians get themselves into. And these verses are not few. I just grabbed, what, 8 of them, whatever the total number is here. It goes on there. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. And the list goes on and on and on. And so this ability to deceive myself is real. And that's what I want to focus on with this account that we read where the Good Samaritan parable is given. But I want to focus on the part just before that. If you would notice, it says here again, the expert in the law, lawyer, stood up to test Jesus, tells you the motivation of his heart. You understand? There are questions asked for the purpose of edifying myself, of growing deeper with the Lord. There are questions asked to destroy the message of God. Well, how good do you really expect our mouth to be, Pastor? Every word that comes out of your mouth. Do you have a doubt? I can find the quote for you if it's necessary. You will be held accountable to every word that comes out of your mouth. Every single, oh my goodness, I hate remembering that verse when I'm preaching this because I always go, I'm preaching to myself first. Remember that. So I'm not wagging my finger at you. I am preaching faithfully what God's made very clear. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself about your pretend faith. Don't sit here and think you got it figured out. Don't be walking down that path because this lawyer thought he was saved too. And he didn't deal honestly with his motives. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to get eternal life? And you begin to understand the little flavor of what he just said there, okay? And you begin to recognize this little thought. What is written in the law? Jesus replied to him, what do you read? And more important, what's written in the law? I love these two questions. What's written in the law? Second one, how do you read it? There are people who hear the word, but it never touches them. What did you hear? Don't kid yourself. Your religion is worthless. God literally wants you to take and be held accountable to every word that comes out of your mouth. How'd you talk to your wife? How did you talk about your wife? How'd you talk to your husband? How did you talk about your husband? How did you talk to your mom or your dad? How did you talk to friends in school? Are you even paying attention right now, or is your mind someplace else because you don't want to hear what the Word of God is saying? Because it's not my word. These are God's words. And I haven't stuck all mine in yet. They'll come. But you got to understand, he said, how do you read it? He's testing. What do you get from it? What are you getting out of this thing? Are you just reading it? Or has it touched your life? You know, we have kids, people, adults, that can sit in church as they turn 18 years old and they disappear from God forever. Or God willing, for a while. Amen. But here's the dilemma. What are we doing right or wrong? What are we failing to preach right or wrong? Do you think by sheer routine of sending to them a certain school or homeschooling them that you necessarily have won their hearts? Our dilemma and our circumstance and our situation is that we cannot win our child's heart. It is not a work of us. You understand? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a thing that God Himself has to accomplish, and it has to be accomplished through His Word, by His Spirit, and that's the reality of salvation. And so when I read this text, this is not meant to scare us. It's meant to hold us accountable. I will not, before God, give you permission to allow your mouth to go outside the control of the Holy Spirit. Does mine? Yes. Does yours? Probably. Does that mean it's okay? No. You can't ever say, because I struggle with this or that, that this then is okay for me to do that. God's sitting there saying, no, your religion, you're demonstrating your religion is worthless. And when you demonstrate it's worthless, you want to know the first ones that watch you? Your wife or your husband, your children. Daddy, your religion's worthless. Look at the way you talk. Listen to the way you talk at school. Listen to the way you treat your parents. Your religion is worthless. Your walk with God is useless. Why? Because something that has to take place here did not take place. Something was not changed. And at that point, this is meant to be a temperature, a thermostat, a thermometer, excuse me, to take your temperature to find out where you're really at. And so here's this guy talking to Jesus, and Jesus responds, what's written in the law? And how do you read it? What are you getting out of it? And he answered a relatively intelligent answer. This is not a stupid man. He answers this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Not a bad quote. And he finishes it off with, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if the story would stop there, and Jesus could just as easily say, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live. Now, obviously, the first thing that begins to happen is you try and live that out. You discover you can't do it and won't do it, and that you fight it. And you will never be able to live this out until the Holy Spirit gets control of what? Oh, let's see the words again. Holy Spirit wants all your strength, all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. You can't hold any of it back. Why? Because that's the requirement of intimacy with God. That's what it takes to destroy the hold of Satan and the flesh and the world on your life. And so that's the call that he addresses there. And he responds, but, and this is the part I want you to focus on with me, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? The lesson. How easy is it for me to justify myself? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless. Justify. Hear me, justify. Well, you know, nobody's perfect, and I do pretty good with my tongue. And God says, I didn't ask you to do pretty good. I want, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring every word captive. Every word captive. And you kind of go, Lord, I can't do that. And God goes, yes, you're right. You got it. What can I do to be saved? You can't do anything. What can I do to get my mouth under control? You must be born again. And it's got to be real. I want your soul, your body, your mind, your spirit, every bit of you. I want all of it. So what's this man's dilemma? The man's dilemma is he's hearing the word preached by Christ, illustrated by God himself, and he's still not getting saved. Is it possible to hear the word preached by me, a mouthpiece, or by Christ himself as you read the word, and you not getting saved? Yeah, that's possible. That's the reality of what happens. This is not spoken to people outside those who have been called into the kingdom. This is spoken to the people inside the kingdom. This is spoken, and he's looking at this guy, and he even finishes the little parable off at the very end. What are his last words? He sits there, and the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him, that was his neighbor." Kids can figure that out in their little illustration. And Jesus responds, "Go and do thou likewise." You understand? Everything Jesus did was for the sake of that individual. Everything in that individual's heart had him totally self-deceived. Everything about what he was doing, while he was rationalizing it and making excuses for it, in reality, it was condemning him as he spoke. Now, I made you look at a second text, and I'd like you to turn to it. It's the one in Galatians there, and it's Galatians chapter 6, if you turn to it. And in Galatians, it says this, do not, I'm in verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You want to find out if your religion is worthless, ask your wife. And here's her criteria. If you don't control your mouth, your religion is worthless. You may not want to hear what she has to say, but she probably won't have very much trouble deciding yes or no. Your kids, ask them. Your husband, ask him, or however you got to do that. The idea, of course, is this point. Do not deceive yourself. Why? Because deceiving yourself doesn't do you any good. Deceiving yourself gives you no power. Deceiving yourself doesn't change your circumstances. Deceiving yourself doesn't change you in your circumstances. Deceiving yourself allows you to mess the whole thing up. Deceiving yourself gets you ruined because you're living in the flesh and onto the flesh, and the flesh always brings destruction into your life, either blatantly big or in small little cancerous kind of eating away at you little pieces at a time. But if you deceive yourself, you're already lost because you cannot hear. You cannot see because you don't think anything what God, the Word, the Scripture, the teacher, the pastor, whoever it is trying to say to you has anything to say to you. And so here's Jesus, or excuse me, Paul, talking to the Galatians, and he goes, don't deceive yourself. God cannot be mocked. And what is a mock sound? Well, we can think of all the kind of derogatory mockings that we can do. I can go like this, you know, what does God know? I mean, we're people down here. Our mouths go out of control. What's the big deal? I just mocked God. I just belittled his word. I just destroyed what his expectation of me was. How did I do it? With self-deception. With an attitude that what God wrote, he didn't really mean. How nice, right? What God writes to me, he never really means that. He's just kind of, you know, lives up there on that God cloud. And what does he know about real life down here? Well, the answer comes back this. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. If you're reaping self-deception, you're going to sow what self-deception brings you. God, why don't you answer my prayers? Why aren't you saving my children? Why aren't you healing my marriage? Why aren't you changing my attitude to my husband or my wife? Why? And God answers, who are you? Who are you talking to? Who are you believing in? Don't deceive yourself. You cannot mock God. Now, I understand when we get to that concept of mocking God, you can't pretend he's a blind and deaf old guy who can't see through your inconsistencies. Don't do that to God and don't do it to yourself. Oh, God just really doesn't know. I'm really sincere. And God says, yeah, let's hear what Satan whispered in your ear. Tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow I'll apologize. Tomorrow I'll treat my mom different. Tomorrow I'll treat my dad different. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And the dilemma, of course, is God is whispering to you here, shouting at us again, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. Then he explains it. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap, notice the word, destruction. You're going to reap the destruction that it brings. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your relationship with God. It'll destroy your children one at a time or all at once. It'll destroy your job. It'll destroy your attitude. It'll destroy your future. It'll destroy everything about you, including your salvation, your walk with God. Really? Yeah, it goes, and he finishes off. He goes, and the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Well, the challenge, of course, is to not to just beat myself up when my mouth goes out of control. That's certainly, I have to be held accountable to that. But to recognize this is not what God wanted for my life. This is not where I need to be. This individual, person, situation, whatever it is, I'm bad-mouthing, complaining about, nagging or gossiping about, all of those things need to come under the authority of God, be called out for what they are, and don't kid yourself. Call it sin. Walk up to your wife and say, I never should have talked to you that way today. What I did was wrong. I keep expecting and behaving in the jerky kind of ways. Walk up to your husband and say it. They might pass out because they probably haven't heard some apologies the way they need to be given. Walk to your child. Biggest thing you can do is if you discipline your kid incorrectly, you can say you're sorry for it. I'm sorry I was such a jerk. I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry that I assumed you were doing something wrong. I'm sorry, and really mean it. You understand? A kid can figure that out. I need to forgive my father. He was wrong when he spanked me or yelled at me or screamed at me. And then don't make excuses. Well, you know, I have a really tough day. My job is really hard. And I go, shut up. God loves excuses. Did you ever read that in Scripture? Don't deceive yourself. And for goodness sakes, don't come up with any excuses. I don't want to hear them. There's no power in an excuse. There's power in repentance. There's power in integrity. There's power in coming under the authority of the Holy Spirit. There's power when you go, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Then let's start. You tell your wife you're sorry. You tell your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, you're sorry. Or whatever it is you have to do. Why? Because you need to come under that authority of God. You need to have an evidence by the behaviors you're demonstrating that your religion is not totally worthless, because all you do is you make these bland statements about, I'll try harder not to do that anymore, maybe. Right? I promise. Did you guys do that? Cross your fingers and it breaks the promise. It doesn't mean, I don't really mean it because my fingers are crossed, you know, ha 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 ha. And I go, you're going to get what you've earned. You're sowing into your life, your family, your marriage, destruction. You're sowing destruction into your relationship with your parents. You're sowing destruction into your relationship with friends and people around you. And you begin to understand, is God really expecting me to bring every thought captive, every word captive to the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. Why? Because he can work with you. He can bless that. He's not asking you to perfect yourself. He's asking you to get honest with yourself. Get honest with what you're doing. Don't deceive yourself. Why? I won't be mocked. You get what you sow and you're going to reap what you sow. Let us not become weary in doing good. Well, I apologized to my wife and I expected her to really just change. And she didn't. Living with you, I wouldn't change either. What's she waiting for? Show me. Show me. The evidence. What God is saying. He says, don't use words. Don't deceive yourself. Just do it. Do it so much and so clearly and so visibly that one day he or she looks at you and says, are you okay? Why? Well, you haven't belittled me for weeks. You haven't complained about my housekeeping for weeks. You haven't backstabbed me, nagged at me, complained about life and everything for months. Are you okay? Yeah, God's been getting a hold of my life. It's about time I dealt with my mouth because I don't want to deceive myself, because there is no power in self-deception. There's only self-destruction in self-deception. And so he goes on. Don't grow weary. Don't you dare quit on doing what is right and what is good. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I don't know how long your wife's going to have to wait before she finally believes you're changing. Or me, or you, or husbands. Are you really changing, or is this just words? You've got to understand, God is bringing the power of the Almighty God into your marriage, into your relationships, into the control of your mouth, into the words that come out of your mouth, because we set on fire our lives by the way we talk to people. How many of you cannot remember some negative comment your dad or your mom, your aunt or uncle, somebody you go to school with, somebody you hung out with, made when they made fun of you because of the way you look, the way you talk, how big or small you were, etc., 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 etc.? We all understand the power of those things and the words that can come out. And he's going on, he says, from this, let us not grow weary, because at the proper time, and I know God's clock is not on daylight saving time. He'll show up when he wants to, and he will never be late. He's always on time. He's just late according to your plan. Oh, God, I thought you'd come yesterday. No, I thought today would be a better day. And so on and so forth. All right? And do not give air. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I think sometimes doing good to believers is the hardest in one sense. Will you expect me to say hello to you every time I see you on Sunday now? Find somebody you don't say hello to and say hello to them. Do you know their children's names? Go ask. Did you ask Steve how his brother's doing? Did you want to find out about Marshall? You understand? You go, but then I got to go back next Sunday and maybe talk to him again. Yeah. You have to understand, this is a call of God which says, do not pretend, do not kid yourself. You have to step out. You've got to reach out. You've got to sow what you're hoping to reap. I can't plant a sunflower seed and thinking I'm getting an avocado tree. I can't plant a piece of corn and thinking I'm going to grow apples on it. You're going to have to sow what you want. If you want people to respond to you, sow into them. How are you doing today? I've been praying for you and your wife and your brother. How's your business? How's your company? How are you doing? Wow. Did you know that Bill, Mary, Sue, Tom asked me about my husband today? She's never done that before. Do it. Because it's real, not because I said so. But you're sowing what you're hoping to reap. And out of that, what are we hoping to reap? Children, families, people in the church that are real and sincere and not self-deceived. Why? Because that's who I need around me. That's who I need to hold me accountable. That's who I need to go, this is not me, but I'm growing into this man. This is not where I'm not yet, but I should be. This is the ability of this text to hold me accountable and keep me ultimately from kidding myself. God's invitation is always good, and he sends this out to us to give us that blessing that he wants to pour out to us. Join me in prayer. Lord, I deceive myself way too easy and way too much. And I compare myself to others when I should compare myself to your word. And your word always tells me the truth, even when I don't want to hear it. But there is power in the truth. There is power in your word. There is healing for those who confess. There is a freedom that you have for us that many of us have yet to taste. Today I pray, Lord, for the children and the teenagers and others, Lord, wherever their faith is real, multiply it. Wherever it's unsure, Lord, give them the answers that they're seeking and minister to them with the miracles and the power, the healing or the grace that they need so they can confess it with sincerity and truth and that there is no self-deception in us or around us or about ourselves. Bless us all, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen. As the offer